This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
They're an arrogant, ingrown, close-knit brotherhood like the Mafia. They're the product of a sick society. To hell with tomorrow. Their bag is today. Their bag is right now.
Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Oh, the hair on my neck just straight up.
With Ben Higgins.
Thank God all these bottles I popped. All this paper I've been getting. All these models I popped.
Stephen Woods.
It's my job to pull that demon out of Ben Higgins, and I will do it.
And Paul Reindel.
Oh, my God.
It's Ben and Woods.
Oh, I do. It's the last thing to do.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, you got
look at our San Diego Padres. Oh, my gosh. Welcome in. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. Andros in the chat says, are we late this morning? No, nobody's late. We're ready to rock. We're here. And what a morning indeed. Give you one of these. Yeah! The double guttural scream. That's back-to-back walk-offs, Ben. Last couple of days. We had a walk-off Wednesday yesterday. Walk off Thursday today, and now we're on an off day. So you know how weird off days get. Hopefully this one doesn't get as weird. Everyone's pretty happy about the results, getting the first sweep of the year. Let's get our heads right on a Thursday. Very excited to be here with you. I'm Woodsy. To my right is our friend Frank Marchese, a.k.a. Italian Paul. Good morning.
Good morning.
Look at your freaking hat. Look at that. He's got his Italia hat on. I love it. Good for you. Got a Tupperware over there full of meatballs and chicken cacciatore and all sorts of gelato and things. Good. You brought your lunch to work. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you guys, too.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
I'm probably the one on this station that's the least happiest about these walk-off hits, but, you know,
as a Met fan, unabashed Met fan, Frankie is about to get some San Diego Padres love up in Citi Field this weekend. Now, listen, you never know what team's going to show up. You know that. You run the board. Nah, you don't know that.
I know what Met team is going
to
show up.
You don't know that at all. And then to Frankie's right is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, Benjamin Higgins. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. I'm in a very good mood right now.
Are you?
Yes. And it's definitely not because I'm watching Tiger Woods putt for the lead at the U.S. Open. I walk in, and the first thing I hear from Italian Paul is, I've been instructed not to put the U.S. Open on television.
But
I'm not allowed to put it on.
Not going to stop him.
And I said, that's okay. I've got a computer. I can just stick it on in front of myself right now. So, no, I'll be here. I'm happy also because, you know, the back-to-back walk-off wins, good mood, going into a roundtable Thursday. I did not want to have to talk to Mike Shildt. After yet another failed sweep tomorrow, we don't have to worry about that.
Hey, we won the series, Ben.
And I'm excited to have Italian Paul here today because, yeah, the Padres and the Mets are going to be playing this weekend, so we've got the enemy perspective.
Yes, I like that.
Going into the upcoming series.
I like that as well. You know, who's got it worse than Met fans right now? Not many. Not many. And we'll talk about that because we do have a very passionate Met fan. I love that about you, Frankie. You're a very passionate Met fan indeed. And yeah, there's plenty of info that we can get from you. But yeah, man, what a great day yesterday. Yesterday was a fantastic day. And of course, listen, you know, when you have two walk-offs in a row, it doesn't mean that everything is, you know, sunshine and rainbows. It's absolutely true.
I'm glad you said that.
You can't come in here this morning and be like, hey, we got it all figured out. No, absolutely not. Now, also not to be a giant pain in the ass and come in here and pick it apart, but man, I tell you what, wasn't my favorite game to watch until the last swing. I mean, it was not my favorite game to watch at all. Was not super happy with what I saw. But listen, at the end of the day, in a results-based business, you got another monkey off your back, okay? You were the last team in the big leagues to sweep somebody, and I understand that it's the A's. The A's are no joke. I mean, their record isn't great, but those guys fight every single pitch. You saw that. Those guys don't quit. So listen, I'm really, really happy with the result, but it should not have taken that much good fortune to make it go your way. And we will certainly talk about some things. Guys have to start stepping up. They just do. And I didn't want to get into a ton of major arguments yesterday on Twitter about bullpen management and stuff, but for God's sakes, man, like, what do you expect him to do sometimes when every time he calls down to the bullpen, somebody comes in and walks the first guy they see or gives up a knock the first guy they see? What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? At some point, guys like Yuki Matsui and Wandy Peralta, you have to do your job. You have to do your job. So I think it's important to talk about that stuff today. But
I'm not here for that content right now, man.
Right.
I want to hear
this
about
is
your
good time.
I want to hear your day at the San Diego County Fair yesterday.
What a
opening day. At the fair, it looked like as I was driving by yesterday, it was pretty busy.
Yeah.
It's hopping for a Wednesday. A lot of people excited to have the fair back. And you guys, your family went day one. How did it go?
It was fantastic. We did the split shift. I said that yesterday on the air, and I had a flub that might have been a curse on the air. The split shift. Hannah picked up Bo, along with our friend Melody and their son Jackson, Bo and Jackson, best buddies. So the four of them went. Me and Kevin, their dad, we waited to pick up Taylor and Ryder from the same school, and then we're going to meet them up there. So we waited for them to wake up from their naps, which is great because I got a chance to watch the game, most of the game. And we picked them up and went as we're walking into the fair. This was a pretty cool moment. Back to the Padres for a second. Pull in. It's over. I'm like, this is over. Solano hits the bomb. I'm like, we're back. Taylor and I are walking in hand. We're back. It's tied. All right. Oh, God, we're going to see Mason Miller now. Oh, boy, it's probably over. Right? And you never know what's going to happen. So I got it on my phone, and my phone's in my pocket, but I can still hear it. And we're walking. Hannah told us she was in the farthest point away from where we parked. She was in Maine. We were in San Diego. In the fair's perspective.
I get the
So we're walking all the way across. And I'm like, oh my God, you know he's 3 years old. Why did you tell us to park here? So we're walking and walking, walking. All of a sudden, Jackson Merrill comes up, hits the walk-off. I'm walking through the fair with my son. I'm like, yes! Like that. A tier one is walking towards me. He goes, did you see that? Bam! High five. We took a picture. It was awesome. It was awesome. It was a great, great moment. So we go in. And go get the wristband. You know what? We were over in like the kiddie land, well, the kind of the smaller rides. Taylor was psychotic. All he wanted to do was ride rides. So I said, I'm going to get him the unlimited rides. It's $49. And if he rides 5-6 rides, we break even, like easily. He ripped through 5 rides in about 14 minutes, man. Again. He rode the big slide like 4 times. So well worth the money. And so that's all he wanted to do was ride rides. I wanted to get a snack. And so Melody, our friend, said, I'll go get you guys corn dogs. I said, okay, cool. I love corn dogs. She came back. The corn dog was a foot long. I've never had a foot long corn dog in my whole life. And I damn near ate the whole thing. It was fantastic. It was outstanding.
Such a state fair food, corn dog.
But like, I like usually the little ones because you kind of rip through them and you're done. This thing was on a spear. It was a big, sharp, thick spear.
New business. Hot dog on a spear.
And it was it was so big and heavy that you would hold it and it would kind of lean a little bit. So you really had to get through it. So you had to eat it like a corn on the cob. You couldn't go. I don't want to do this on camera. You couldn't go like and eat it from this way. So you had to kind of nibble around it like corn. And it was spectacular. Spectacular. We got the kids a frozen whip, like a strawberry Dole frozen whip. Hannah had corn on the cob. I didn't even have any. Yeah. And then instead of going the cinnamon roll route, there was a place next door that made sundaes and shakes. So I got a little chocolate shake. Delicious. That's really all I had, though. But I ate the corn dog, and then Taylor wanted me to ride the swings with him, and I almost vomited on that. And I said, I can't do any more round and round rides. But they had such a field day out there. One little observation, though. You know what their favorite ride was? It was the, it's essentially, it has like, you walk in, and there's a slide, and there's these ropes that you can...
Like an obstacle course.
Yeah, but it's like the playgrounds that they go to. We went all the way to the fair so that they could play on a playground, which they play every day. And Hannah's like, well, yeah, they're obviously familiar with it. I go, but look at all these rides. They could be riding these rides. These kids are not smart. They're not efficient with their fair going. And she's like, will you just shut up and let them do what they want to do? I go, fine, I'm just telling you. My kids should know better. Right? We do this all the time. We don't get to ride centipedes up and down a roller coaster.
Any fun houses? Did they go into any of the fun houses?
Oh, yeah. Went to the fun houses. They always creep me out. I don't know who's in
me
there.
Me too.
Like, I don't know.
Mirrors and everything.
It's creepy, but like, anytime you lose track of your 6-year-old, you're like,
there's some sort of maze in there.
Yeah. It's very, very creepy. So, anyway,
But you didn't go on any of the big rides.
No, I didn't go on any big rides.
So yesterday at Channel 10, we had our morning crew was out there, and then our afternoon, and they did a little reporter participation. I saw Lindsay Pena, our anchor at 4 p.m., and Moses Small, our weathercaster. They went on the Kraken, the new ride that it's 380 feet up into the air, the big giant.
I saw it.
Up, down. It spins, it swings. It looked pretty gnarly. They were wobbling as they came off on television when they got off the ride, for sure.
Look, man, and I'm a fan of fairs and carnivals and all that. But when I'm on the swings yesterday, and I'm looking up, and I'm like, I see rust, and I don't know who put these things together. It was day one, by the way. Day one is usually when you work out the kinks. All that went through my mind is my fat ass up in the air on one of those swings. It breaks loose, and I go careening.
Remember, they got to take these things apart and put them back together every 3 weeks or so, all summer long.
100%. And I would be flying through the air, bolted in a swing, like, well, this is going to suck. I'm not going to die, more than likely, but both legs are going to crumple underneath me. My body weight's going to go forward. I'm going to skid across the concrete. That's what was going through my head until I hit the ground. I was like, whew. Oh, it was gnarly.
And then I have to ask, because you are susceptible, did you make any large purchases requiring installment plans from someone who was shouting at you as you walked by?
Stayed away from all of that. Did not end up with the $5,000 massage chair that I almost got 1 year. My mother-in-law did buy a hot tub there once, which is incredible. I was like, I've never seen anyone buy anything here. And you are walking out of here with a hot tub. No, we stayed away from that kind of area. Now, my wife will want to go back 7 to 12 times between now and the end of the fair. I always feel like okay, I got it. Like I did it. I made it. I parked and we did the whole long walk and we had a great time and it was really well done. But I just felt like, okay, I think I'm good with one and done.
Hannah in the chat says, I got whiplash on the zipper in 2018. No more fair rides for me. My neck still seizes when I walk through the gate.
She's not stopped talking about her neck in 6 years. And really, she rode the zipper, and she came out, and she's like, something's wrong with me. Well, I mean, you're on a carny ride. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. Yeah, man, so I had a great time. My kids had so much fun. And that's really, at the end of the day, what it's all about. The food was spectacular. I mean, the reason I would go back, I think what has happened is the foot-long corn dog tasted so much better than the little regular ones that, like, it was so much better.
I would be worried that there'd be too much batter.
No, bro, the flavor of it, was better than any little corn dog I've ever had.
Wow.
And so now I would go back maybe for one of those and a lemonade. There's some things I didn't get to see, some rides. The rides have gotten better and better and bigger out there. But, you know, I really don't like riding rides at 48 years old.
Ray wants to know what was the total.
All right,
we were speculating. You said 49 for the wristband.
20
for
to park.
Taylor. Yeah.
So that's $69.
Yeah.
That's nice.
if it stopped there.
Melody bought my corn dog, freebie. Hannah bought my Sprite, freebie. $69.
That's it. No games? No card?
Hannah had the card.
Midway games?
Hannah had the card, and Bo played all the games. He won 14 huge prizes. It was great. So that's $69. That's not too bad.
I don't know that when your spouse is buying a lot of it, you can say that you got off. I mean, you have to combine those totals together.
I don't know what she spent.
Okay.
We keep our finances separate, which is very smart, I think. So I don't know what she spent. Probably more than $69. But it was awesome. Highly recommend. If you haven't been, I had some friends that are like, bro, I keep meaning to go every year. I haven't been in forever. Hannah says she spent $400. So that's fantastic. $400. I had no idea. I'm like, oh, we got out of here pretty
not
good.
Not bad, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe less than a hundo.
A free corn dog. We're good.
All right. So $500 day at the Fair for the Woods family. Good Lord. All right, we'll get out there and sell those houses, babe, and we will get to some Padres baseball. Really fun couple of days, obviously, but you can't stick your head in the sand about what's still a bit concerning about this team. And I don't want to be the doom and gloom edgelord that comes in here this morning. I'm massively happy about taking those three games. Massively.
Yeah, there's a lot to be positive about, but I always think it's a good day to kind of poke around the edges when everyone's in a good mood, because you can do it a little less emotionally.
That's true. You had we lost that game,
yeah,
Benny?
Then we'd be overreacting.
Overhaul the bullpen.
You can do it a little less emotionally to see where the potential weaknesses are. So we'll talk about that. Set the menu when we come back. We've got lots of great audio, of course, from another walk-off win yesterday. We'll get to it all coming up. Italian Paul, Woodsy, Ben. It's a Throwback Thursday. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station. Let's check traffic here. First time this morning on 97.3 The Fan. Now I feel bad. And it's usually not my mother who makes me feel bad, but she texted us during the break and said, how about an update on actual Paul and how he's doing? Why he's not here today? He left sick yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Is he dead? Did
he's
he make
not
dead. It? Is he hospitalized? Is he all right?
No, he's just got a cold.
Yeah, I think he's fine. He's texting us throughout the day yesterday. I think Adam being overly careful to make sure that no one gets infected in the building. So we had him stay home today.
He's taking a break. What's the problem?
Yeah, he's taking a break.
He's taking a break.
Yeah, he's taking a break.
He's taking an Italian break. He's good.
Yeah, he's under the weather. So you can't. Thing is like you can't come in here and then get Italian Paul sick or scrabies.
Are you
out.
Okay with this? Because you hate the whole thing when someone goes on vacation. Paulie was on vacation, went to Las Vegas, then comes back sick and has to take more time off of work.
You know, I think the old me would have been upset. The new me, who also gets sick, I just had COVID. Like, I just don't want anybody else to get sick. So I think I'm absolutely good with it. I'm down for the, as long as we have a fill-in that can fill in, right? What I don't want, you know, is somebody that has no idea what they're doing. Italian Paul does a great job. Even Bald Reindl himself does a great job when Paulie's out. Not that Paulie is, you know, I'm not, Paulie's a different beast in here, certainly. But no, I, me 5 years ago would be upset, really. And I've grown, Ben. I have. I've grown. I've changed. I've gotten a little bit softer in my older age. And things don't bother me like they used to. I still get bothered. Believe me. I get bothered when guys can't come in and execute. And then the manager is blamed. That bothers me. But I other things like that, none of that's in my control. I want Paulie to be at his tip-top. And plus, I don't want him to get anybody else sick. And like with me, when I was sick, I could broadcast from home. Paulie can't produce from home. It's a totally different animal. So I want Paulie to be at his best. I would imagine he says in a text that he feels good enough maybe to come back tomorrow, but I don't know that you push it. You know what I mean? Frijoles said Paulie's playing Warzone right now. Yeah, if anybody catches Paulie online playing video games, let me know. Because at least I can break his balls about that. But if you're homesick, you can play video games.
Absolutely.
That's
the only thing you can do.
I don't expect him to be listening to the show and taking notes and things like that. No, I don't. Here's the thing about Paulie. He takes so little time off that I don't feel. If he was constantly out, yeah, it's a different story. But he takes so little time off and is sick so little that it's absolutely fine. Feel better.
We'll get by without him either today or today and tomorrow. And then have him back by Monday, I am sure.
Squirrely. Italian Paul on the Ben and Woods Show. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. Fantastic.
All right, here's what we've got coming up on a throwback Thursday. Obviously, we'll get into the Padres' second straight walk-off win and our Padres' wrap-up. Here are all of Jesse's highlights yesterday. Now, did anyone find out if Jesse worked in the incorporator word? Usually, Paulie's the one that checks on that. Jesse said he wanted an extra day to get his Sockdolager word to try to get it into one of the highlights. There were plenty of hard-hit balls by the Padres where he could have gotten it in. I guess we'll hear it in the highlights if he did, because that was the goal, to make an incorporator appearance in our Padres wrap-up. So
I saw a tweet that said, oh, a couple missed opportunities from Jesse.
I don't know.
He might have forgotten.
I may have overly challenged him on this
one. I really think you threw a lot at him on this, and I think it kind of, you know, I think we've blown a really good word with your extra credit that you wanted him
Fine.
To do.
Well, we'll find out in the Padres wrap-up coming up next. And then at 7 o'clock, we will play a little Real or Fake on a Throwback Thursday. Chance to qualify for the trip to the Fontainebleau Las Vegas and the concert tickets. Don't do this. I think for consistency's sake, we're going to play the Korean walk-off call there and do this just like we did yesterday. That's the stat that blew my mind. This is just the second time in the 55 years of Padres history that on two consecutive games they have hit walk-off home runs.
Second time.
Just the second time in 55 years. Walk-off home runs are rare and special, but they're not uncommon,
right?
That it would only happen twice in 55 years. Yeah, the only time until the last 2 days, 1986. The first day, Marvell Wynn hit a walk-off home run. The second day, Bruce Bochy hit the walk-off home run.
Yeah, I got a good pitch to hit it out. It was pretty good. It was good. Left field.
And now you can add the Donovan Solano Jackson Merrill combination.
Just like
to that.
Just like we all drew it up. Donovan Solano and Jackson Merrill going multiple home runs to beat the A's. Holy smokes, man. What a game. Let's get into it.
Everybody asking if Adam is going to pay off his promise, which was if the Padres sweep a series, he'll come in and eat a handful of the gnarly Bean Boozled jelly beans. And he is. He's going to do that, I believe, in our 7 o'clock hour, 7:35. You want to tune in to see Adam's rough. The guy has an iron stomach. We've already learned that.
Well, listen, as the only other human being
who's had a handful of those once?
That I know. I mean, I know people have played this game and stuff. I don't know if anybody's taken a handful. It was one of the worst experiences of my life. The taste of it. So Italian Paul and I were kicking this around this morning. Italian Paul said, no, the best way to do it is drop one in at a time, let him chew it. Oh, that's a bad one. Oh, that's a good one. I go, no, dude. You throw them in, you start to chew, and you're like, oh, that's four bad ones on my left side. There's one little, I taste a little bit of peach or cherry or something,
ugh,
but the flavor of vomit and dish rag is definitely overweighing it. Your mouth starts to fill up with saliva.
Uh-huh.
It's so uncomfortably awful. I'm glad Klug's doing it, and we got him here, and he's excited about it. I mean, there's not that many left.
I mean, does he just finish them off? No, that's a lot.
Ben, that's a ton.
That's a ton.
Oh,
anything more than like 8 to 10 is plenty on this handful.
If you've ever had kids, it smells like a diaper genie after you pull the big bag out.
I hated
that smell.
Oh,
the worst. It's just you retch
every
time.
There was that good smell that was mixed with the bad smell. It actually makes it worse.
Yes. Yeah. It's just hideous.
All right. Second half of the program. It is Thursday, which means it's a super polished, yet to be named, Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Saris. Thursday, brought to you by 7 Mile Casino. Eno from The Athletic will be with us at 8:35. An Italian Paul Reindl report.
No!
Some headlines at 9 o'clock as well. And then we'll get you ready for the Roundtable coming up at 10 to 11 as we move over to our sound space and be joined by our colleagues for an hour of commercial-free Padres discussion all coming up. So
awesome.
That's what's on the table today. I'll probably update you on the U.S. Open once or twice as we're going through.
Or thrice.
Technically, Tiger Woods is in the lead at the U.S. Open right now. Yeah. It's very, very early, and he's tied with a ton of people at one under, and he's got a long par putt that he's probably going to lose that shot. But At the moment, he's tied for the lead at the U.S. Open. That's your update for now. We'll come back with our Padres wrap-up and all of Jesse's highlights of yesterday's win coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair. It is now open. The magic of the Midway, live concerts, and a nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets online. Learn more on what's happening at sdfair.com. That's sdfair.com. Or just listen to Woods tell you all about his trip yesterday.
Well, you're talking about fashion and culture. And I made an observation at the fair yesterday.
It's like a Paris runway of couture.
Well, in a sense, I was very surprised at the amount of people that were dressed a little bit for the San Diego County Fair.
It's like opening day at the races where you really doll yourself up with the hats.
Guys know we're walking around on dirt and like we are at a carnival. Like we're sucking down corn dogs and strawberry lemonades and like there's no, like people were done up at the fair. And I was like, and I don't mean just like teenagers out for the summer. I mean like grown-ass women were in outfits. And I was like,
really?
What is happening?
I'm expecting, this is where, tank top and shorts are completely appropriate.
I had just a t-shirt on and some, joggers. That's what I always wear, though. But I wanted to be comfortable because it was a little warm. And the people really, the people watching there is top-notch. There's nothing like it on the planet. So that was good. But yeah, I guess the fashion is king this year at the San Diego County Fair.
All right, we'll get to our highlights and our Padres wrap-up, and I'll be listening closely to hear if Sock Dollager made it anywhere in there. Italian Paul doesn't know, but I think maybe we're due for a win. Jesse's won every week of Incorporator for years. Maybe we're due for a win. We'll find out after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Another long at bat for Donovan Solano. What else is new? Here's the ninth pitch. And in the air to deep left field, and Duhar is back at the wall, looking up, gonna go! Another great battle for Solano, and another great result. His second home run is a Padre, and now 1-0 here in the second. Trying to strike out the side here in the fourth inning. 1-2 to Seth Brown. Out of the windup, King delivers, and a swing and a miss. Got him with a slider, and 10 strikeouts in 4 shutout innings for Michael King. Pitch to Toro is taken on the inside corner. Strike 3 called. Number 12 for Michael King, his season high. Here's the 2-0. Merrill swings, hits it in the air. Straightaway center and deep. Cameron's back. He's at the wall. Leaps up. Gonna go. Home run, Jackson Merrill. Second of the day for the Padres. And it's 2-0 here in the fifth. First pitch to Soderstrom. Grounded through the left side. That's a base hit. Blade rounding third. On his way, Azokar's throw will go to third. And an RBI single for Tyler Soderstrom. The A's are on the board. It's 2-1 here in the sixth inning. And that is the first Oakland run of this series, coming courtesy of something other than a homer. 3-2, hit hard into left field and a base hit, and Duhar's going to be waved. Azokar comes up throwing, and the throw is not in time. Scored standing up as Campusano basically had to go into the right-handed batter's box to get to the throw from Azokar, lunged back to try and tag Andujar out, but he scores standing, and it's 2-2 here in the sixth. Lefty to lefty against Seth Brown. Squares to bunt, pushes it towards third. Peralta tried to field it and missed it. It rolls behind him. Soderstrom's going to try and score from second, and he will. 1-0 pitch, hit well in the air to left center field, and that'll drop down. Going to find the gap, roll all the way to the warning track. Merrill cuts it off, sends it in. They're going to wave Brown around third. Here's the relay to the plate. It's in foul territory and not in time. Gamloff ends up at third base, and the A's have added on. It's 4-2 here in the eighth. First one to Solano, swung on, sent in the air to left center field and deep. Cameron back into the gap. He's on the warning track at the wall. Leaps up. Did he make the catch? It's a home run. Donovan Solano's second of the day has tied it up. 4-4 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Big clap as he rounds third. Big pat on the back from Tim Leeper. He'll head home, and we're all tied up. 4-4 in the bottom of the ninth inning. Swings at the first pitch, sends it in the air. Deep down the right field line, towards the porch. Gonna go! Jackson Merrill, his first career walk-off home run. Hits second base with a stutter step. On his way to third as his teammates pour out of the dugout. They're gonna wait for him at home plate. Padres win it in back-to-back days in walk-off fashion. Hopping up and down around the dish with Jackson Merrill. And the Padres beat the A's 5-4 to finish this homestand 5-2.
A lot of heroes, yeah. I mean, where do we start? I mean, probably with Jackson, right? But, I mean, two-homer game, you know, adds on with the gets the second run. And, you know, of course, they came back. And, God, man, what a beautiful approach. Not trying to do too much against a guy that's pretty nasty, man, clearly. Just nice, sweet stroke, drop the head, and send everybody home happy.
Love that. My favorite.
Some real,
Italian Paul.
For me, Tatis rookie season vibes here for Jackson Merrill.
Yeah, man.
Not just, you know, the production that they've gotten from Jackson, but coming up, you know, before a lot of people thought he'd maybe be ready, you know, a lot of expectations putting you in a real tough spot to succeed right at the start of the season, just like Tatis was. Well, like, forced his way onto the roster, essentially, by playing really well in spring training.
And at least they let Fernando Tatis Jr. play the position he grew up playing when he started. Honestly, when we sat down with Jackson Merrill at spring training, you guys all know the story. You ever play center field? No, never. I was a shortstop my whole life. He says, all right, well, great. You're going to make your debut, and you're going to play center field in the big leagues.
And remember, in that rookie year in 2019, Tatis played, he batted like sixth or seventh for the first couple of months of the season, just as Jackson Merrill has done to start his career. But you started to see more and more moments. And then, you know, that confidence that Tatis played with, Merrill has that too. I mean, their games are different. You know, obviously they swing from different sides of the plate. There's differences, but there are also similarities. The bat flip on the walk-off home run, the way he could fire up his teammates, and you saw the reaction of Tatis and everybody else in the dugout, not just to the win, but to that kid giving them that extra just energy and juice Jackson Merrill, with that confidence, which he has really no business having as a 21-year-old, the same way Tatis really had no business being as confident as he did when he came up in 2019. Very impressive from Jackson Merrill.
You can't say enough good things about him, man. You just can't. And just from his attitude, the way he's handled everything since he's gotten here, the adjustments that he's made, the adjustments have been outstanding. They talk about it a lot on the broadcast because a lot of guys have come up, Benny, gotten some knocks early, you know, and If you're the opposing pitcher, you say, oh, what is it? Is it a rookie? All right, well, he ain't seen my heat yet. Yeah, guy handles the fastball, serves it through the 5-5 hole. Well, then you start to make adjustments on the kid, and he has adjusted along with them. It's the hardest thing about playing in the big leagues from everybody that I've ever talked to. It's the adjustments. It's the constant, constant adjustments you have to make to the way guys are pitching you or how you're pitching guys. So he's been fantastic. The defense, you feel so much more confident. Got a bad break on a ball. No problem. Made up for it with his speed and athleticism, running in full speed. You know, catch it, didn't have to slide or anything. He's been outstanding.
But what surprised me the most yesterday, not necessarily the walk-off home run or the great defensive play. We've been seeing things like that. He hit one 400 feet off a lefty.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that was even possible at this point. I was hoping in, you know, 2 or 3 years he might have that in his game. I don't expect that on the reg, but to know that that's in there, a 400-foot shot to center off a left-hander, I assume that was an out when he hit it, just knowing that's Jackson Merrill. He's not hitting home runs to center field. If he's got that in there, then he's got every part of the game. You know, there's still room to grow. Obviously, he's still 21 years old, but there's nothing that's not already part of the DNA that can't make that guy a superstar player then at some point.
No question. If you're working backwards, as it sounded like Mike Schilt was doing, if you're talking about heroes, yeah, the recency bias says the guy that just walked it off Mason Miller is your hero of the game. But I got four or five more that we should absolutely talk about, and I think it starts with Michael King was outstanding yesterday. Outstanding. I did see people. What were your thoughts about yanking King when they did? Because, again, this is now the second time King's thrown that Schilt has come out to get him, and King was not happy about it. But then again, that's what you want from your starting. You never want your starting pitcher to be like, hey, whew, all right, did my job. There you go. You want the guy that's like, bro, what are you doing out here? Don't come get me. I've got this. I had no issues with them pulling him at 98 pitches, first two guys on in the inning. I really didn't. I didn't have an issue with it. You know, obviously I have an issue with Wandy Peralta coming in and giving it right back. That's tough.
So Mike Schilt said after the game, and I don't know if this makes you feel better about it, but he said he was getting the first two batters no matter what. That was, you know, if he had struck them both out, he's done. 14 strikeouts. Wandy was coming in for the third batter of that inning regardless.
Okay.
So it wasn't panic time. Oh, there's two runners on. I thought, oh, he doesn't want him to give up a three-run home run and take an L after that. I didn't love that strategy. When I heard Mike Schilt say after, no, we saw his pitch count, you know, a lot of long at-bats were, you know, 10 pitches. He was already over 90. He was approaching 100. And we weren't going to let him go more than two more batters in that inning. That was just, we're being careful. We're asking a lot of Michael King, who has never thrown more than 110 innings or something, to go quite a bit more than that this year. How much more, we don't know, but more than that. They're being careful with Michael King, and I can respect that and understand that strategy.
Well, with two of your starters on the IL, you absolutely have to. You absolutely have to be careful with Michael King, and I understand his desire and want to get out of that inning. But you have sometimes you have to protect players from themselves as well, because he looked like he wanted to throw all day, which is great. You want that mentality. But I thought he was awesome. I was really bummed out at the offense for not picking him up on a brilliant day and really not executing at all until, you know, until they did. But
yeah, we get to a couple of the negatives just quickly.
Well, listen, no, I got to stay in the positive frame of mind right now. And I tweeted it right after it happened. Stephen Kolek was the unsung hero of that game. Has had a very up and down, I would say mostly down tenure with the San Diego Padres as a Rule 5 guy. It's a weird position for a guy to be in. It's a weird guy to have on your roster, to be honest with you. What he was able to do, bases loaded, nobody out, cleaning up Wandy Peralta's mess, was outstanding. There's not a soul that I know that felt great about that right then. At that point, you thought, he's got nobody else. He's got nobody else. This is cross your fingers and hope to God something happens. Guy pitched his ass off. Got out of that inning. No more runs. Limited the damage. Kept you right in the game. Stephen Kolek, somebody buy that man a beer the next time they see him. I would love to. He was fantastic. What an outing from that guy. Kept us in the game. He wins the game. The game's
pretty much over. If they get another hit there in that situation, the game is over.
No question. He was unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
Jose Azokar with the really nice catch as well at the end of the inning.
But
that's why he's on the team.
Yes, because he's a
stuff guy. They want to keep him. They don't want to have to give him back because they really like his stuff and his promise. But they've been carrying him, you know, in that last roster spot. Now you can throw him in with pretty much the rest of the last six guys in the bullpen. We've seen them all come through in big moments. Every single one of them has come through in a big moment this year. And they've all exploded in bad moments as well. Every single one of them beyond Robert Suarez and Jeremiah Estrada. They've all exploded in big moments, and they've all come through in big moments this season.
Makes it hard. I mean, we talked about bullpen yesterday. It's tough.
Yesterday was Wandy's turn, and Wandy had been pitching pretty well lately. I didn't realize how he had a bunch of like seven scoreless outings going into the game yesterday. Now, you know what you're going to get from Wandy. It's mostly ground balls, and he got that first one. Five hopper that just happened to go right through the hole. Could have been a double play. Could have been exactly what you needed, but he let it steamroll from there. And then a hard hit ball for a hit.
And the defense.
The bunt was, it was a really good bunt, and it was a bad play by both Solano and Peralta there. And then the walk, you could say, you know, then the wheels are spinning.
Yeah, wheels are off.
He doesn't get an out. So, you know, that part's on Wandy Peralta. But, you know, the negative, and there's more heroes, but just the fact that they can't really string together offense against left-handers.
Still.
Hogan Harris, nobody's. J.P. Sears. Yeah, they won the games, but they're not stringing together offense.
They're not
against
out of the woods, which was why Italian Paul, you have a shot with the first two guys, I believe, in the series against the Mets being left-handed. You always have a shot with a lefty on the bump.
Come back. I want to talk about that eighth inning and setting up Donovan Solano's moment here at the end of the game as well. Continuing our discussion of the Padres on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair. It is now open. The magic of the Midway. Live concerts and a nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets online. Learn more on what's happening at sdfair.com. That's sdfair.com. Or just listen to Woods tell you all about his trip yesterday.
Well, you're talking about fashion and culture. And I made an observation at the fair yesterday.
It's like a Paris runway of couture.
Well, in a sense, I was very surprised at the amount of people that were dressed a little bit in my for the San Diego County Fair.
It's like opening day at the races where you really doll yourself up with the hats.
I was like, you guys know we're walking around on dirt and like we are at a carnival. Like we're sucking down corn dogs and strawberry lemonades, and like, there's no, like, people were done up at the fair. And I was like, and I don't mean just like teenagers out for the summer. I mean, like, grown ass women were in outfits. And I was like,
really?
What is happening?
I'm expecting, you know, this is where, you know, tank top and shorts are completely appropriate.
I had just a t-shirt on and some, you know, joggers. That's what I always wear, though. But I wanted to be comfortable because it was a little warm. And the people really, the people watching there is top notch. There's nothing like it on the planet. On the planet. So that was good. But yeah, I guess the fashion is king this year at the San Diego County Fair.
All right, we'll get to our highlights in our Padres wrap up, and I'll be listening closely to hear if Sock Dolliger made it anywhere in there.
I think you're going to be disappointed.
Italian Paul doesn't know, but I think maybe we're due for a win. Jesse's won every week of
pretty
the Incorporator for years. Maybe we're due for a win. We'll find out after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God. I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres' win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Another long at-bat for Donovan Solano. What else is new? Here's the ninth pitch. And in the air to deep left field, and Duhar is back at the wall, looking up, gonna go! Another great battle for Solano and another great result. His second home run is a Padre, and now 1-0 here in the second. Trying to strike out the side here in the fourth inning. 1-2 to Seth Brown. Out of the windup, King delivers, and a swing and a miss. Got him with a slider, and 10 strikeouts in 4 shutout innings for Michael King. Pitch to Toro is taken on the inside corner. Strike 3 called. Number 12 for Michael King, his season high. The 2-0, Merrill swings, hits it in the air. Straightaway center and deep. Cameron's back. He's at the wall. Leaps up. Gonna go. Home run, Jackson Merrill. Second of the day for the Padres. And it's 2-0 here in the fifth. First pitch to Soderstrom, grounded through the left side. That's a base hit. Blade rounding third. On his way, Azokar's throw will go to third. And an RBI single for Tyler Soderstrom. The A's are on the board. It's 2-1 here in the sixth inning. And that is the first Oakland run of this series, coming courtesy of something other than a homer. 3-2, hit hard into left field and a base hit, and Duhar's going to be waved. Azokar comes up throwing, and the throw is not in time. Scored standing up as Campusano basically had to go into the right-handed batter's box to get to the throw from Azokar, lunged back, to try and tag Andujar out, but he scores standing, and it's 2-2 here in the sixth. Lefty to lefty against Seth Brown. Squares to bunt, pushes it towards third. Peralta tried to field it and missed it. It rolls behind him. Soderstrom's going to try and score from second, and he will. 1-0 pitch, hit well in the air to left center field, and that'll drop down. Going to find the gap, roll all the way to the warning track. Merrill cuts it off, sends it in. They're going to wave Brown around third. Here's the relay to the plate. It's in foul territory and not in time. Geloff ends up at third base, and the A's have added on. It's 4-2 here in the eighth. First one to Solano, swung on, sent in the air to left center field, and deep. Cameron back into the gap. He's on the warning track at the wall. Leaps up. Did he make the catch? It's a home run! Donovan Solano's second of the day has tied it up. 4-4 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Big clap as he rounds third. Big pat on the back from Tim Leeper. He'll head home, and we're all tied up. 4-4 in the bottom of the ninth inning. Swings at the first pitch, sends it in the air. Deep down the right field line, towards the porch. It's gonna go! Jackson Merrill, his first career walk-off home run. Hits second base with a stutter step. On his way to third as his teammates pour out of the dugout. They're going to wait for him at home plate. Padres win it in back-to-back days in walk-off fashion. Hopping up and down around the dish with Jackson Merrill. And the Padres beat the A's 5-4 to finish this homestand 5-2.
A lot of heroes, yeah. I mean, where do we start? I mean, probably with Jackson, right? But, I mean, two-homer game, you know, adds on with the gets the second run. And, you know, of course, they came back. And, God, man, what a beautiful approach. Not trying to do too much against a guy that's pretty nasty, man, clearly. Just nice, sweet stroke, drop the head, and send everybody home happy.
Love that. My favorite.
Some real,
Save that, Paul.
Some real,
there, Italian Paul.
For me, Tatis rookie season vibes here for Jackson Merrill.
Yeah, man.
Not just, you know, the production that they've gotten from Jackson, but coming up, you know, before a lot of people thought he'd maybe be ready, you know, a lot of expectations, putting you in a real tough spot to succeed right at the start of the season, just like Tatis was. Well, like, forced his way onto the roster, essentially, by playing really well in spring training.
And at least they let Fernando Tatis Jr. play the position he grew up playing when he started. Honestly, when we sat down with Jackson Merrill at spring training, you guys all know the story. You ever play center field? No, never. I was a shortstop my whole life. He says, all right, well, great. You're going to make your debut, and you're going to play center field in the big leagues.
And remember, in that rookie year in 2019, Tatis played, he batted like sixth or seventh for the first couple of months of the season, just as Jackson Merrill has done to start his career. But you started to see more and more moments. And then, you know, that confidence that Tatis played with, Merrill has that too. I mean, the games are different. You know, obviously they swing from different sides of the plate. There's differences, but there are also similarities. The bat flip on the walk-off home run, the way he could fire up his teammates, and you saw the reaction of Tatis and everybody else in the dugout, not just to the win, but to that kid giving them that extra just energy and juice that Jackson Merrill, with that confidence, which he has really no business having as a 21-year-old, the same way Tatis really had no business being as confident as he did when he came up in 2019. Very impressive from Jackson Merrill.
You can't say enough good things about him, man. You just can't. And just from his attitude, the way he's handled everything since he's gotten here, the adjustments that he's made, the adjustments have been outstanding. They talk about it a lot on the broadcast because a lot of guys have come up, Benny, gotten some knocks early, you know, and If you're the opposing pitcher, you say, oh, what is it? Is a rookie? All right, well, he ain't seen my heat yet. Yeah, guy handles the fastball, serves it through the 5-5 hole. Well, then you start to make adjustments on the kid, and he has adjusted along with them. It's the hardest thing about playing in the big leagues from everybody that I've ever talked to. It's the adjustments. It's the constant adjustments you have to make to the way guys are pitching you or how you're pitching guys. So he's been fantastic. The defense, you feel so much more confident. Got a bad break on a ball. No problem. Made up for it with his speed and athleticism, running in full speed. You know, catching, didn't have to slide or anything. He's been outstanding.
But what surprised me the most yesterday, not necessarily the walk-off home run or the great defensive play. We've been seeing things like that. He hit one 400 feet off a lefty.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that was even possible at this point. I was hoping in, you know, 2 or 3 years he might have that in his game. I don't expect that on the reg, but to know that's in there, A 400-foot shot to center off a left-hander. I assume that was an out when he hit it, just knowing that's Jackson Merrill. He's not hitting home runs to center field. If he's got that in there, then he's got every part of the game. You know, there's still room to grow. Obviously, he's still 21 years old. But there's nothing that's not already part of the DNA that can't make that guy a superstar player then at some point.
No question. If you're working backwards, as it sounded like Mike Schilt was doing, if you're talking about heroes, yeah, the recency bias says the guy that just walked it off Mason Miller is your hero of the game. But I got four or five more that we should absolutely talk about. And I think it starts with Michael King was outstanding yesterday. Outstanding. I did see people. What were your thoughts about yanking King when they did? Because, again, this is now the second time King's thrown that Schilt has come out to get him, and King was not happy about it. But then again, that's what you want from your starting. You never want your starting pitcher to be like, hey, whew, all right, did my job. There you go. You want the guy that's like, bro, what are you doing out here? Don't come get me. I've got this. I had no issues with them pulling him at 98 pitches, first two guys on in the inning. I really didn't. I didn't have an issue with it. You know, obviously I have an issue with Wandy Peralta coming in and giving it right back. That's tough.
So Mike Schilt said after the game, and I don't know if this makes you feel better about it, but he said he was getting the first two batters no matter what. That was, you know, if he had struck them both out, he's done. 14 strikeouts. Wandy was coming in for the third batter of that inning regardless.
Okay.
So it wasn't panic time. Oh, there's two runners on. I thought, oh, he doesn't want him to give up a three-run home run and take an L after that. I didn't love that strategy. When I heard Mike Schilt say after, no, we saw his pitch count, you know, a lot of long at bats were, you know, 10 pitches. He was already over 90. He was approaching 100. And we weren't going to let him go more than two more batters in that inning. That was just, we're being careful. We're asking a lot of Michael King, who has never thrown more than 110 innings or something, to go quite a bit more than that this year. How much more, we don't know, but more than that. They're being careful with Michael King, and I can respect that and understand that strategy.
Well, with two of your starters on the IL, you absolutely have to. You absolutely have to be careful with Michael King. And I understand his desire and want to get out of that inning. But sometimes you have to protect players from themselves as well, because he looked like he wanted to throw all day, which is great. You want that mentality. But I thought he was awesome. I was really bummed out at the offense for not picking him up on a brilliant day and really not executing at all until they did. But
yeah, to get to a couple of the negatives just quickly.
Well, listen, no, I got to stay in the positive frame of mind right now. And I tweeted it right after it happened. Steven Kolek was the unsung hero of that game. Has had a very up and down, I would say mostly down, tenure with the San Diego Padres as a Rule 5 guy. It's a weird position for a guy to be in. It's a weird guy to have on your roster, to be honest with you. What he was able to do, bases loaded, nobody out, cleaning up Wandy Peralta's mess, was outstanding. There's not a soul that I know that felt great about that right then. At that point, you thought, he's got nobody else. This is cross your fingers and hope to God something happens. Guy pitched his ass off. Got out of that inning. No more runs. Limited the damage. Kept you right in the game. Steven Kolek, somebody buy that man a beer the next time they see him. I would love to. He was fantastic. What an outing from that guy. Kept us in the game. He wins the game.
Game's really pretty much over. If they get another hit there in that situation, the game is over.
No question. He was unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
Jose Azokar with the really nice catch as well at the end of the inning.
But
that's why he's on the team.
Yes, because he's a
stuff guy. They want to keep him. They don't want to have to give him back because they really like his stuff and his promise. But they've been carrying him, you know, in that last roster spot. Now you can throw him in with pretty much the rest of the last six guys in the bullpen. We've seen them all come through in big moments. Every single one of them has come through in a big moment this year. And they've all exploded in bad moments as well. Every single one of them, beyond Robert Suarez and Jeremiah Estrada, they've all exploded in big moments, and they've all come through in big moments this season.
Makes it hard. I mean, it's you know, we talked about bullpen yesterday. It's tough.
Yesterday was Wandy's turn, and Wandy had been pitching pretty well lately. I didn't realize how he had a bunch of like seven scoreless outings going into the game yesterday. Now you know what you're going to get from Wandy. It's mostly ground balls, and he got that first one. five hopper that just happened to go right through the hole. Could have been a double play. Could have been exactly what you needed. But he let it steamroll from there. And then a hard hit ball for a hit.
And the defense.
The wall, you know, the bunt was, it was a really good bunt, and it was a bad play by both Solano and Peralta there. And then the walk, you could say, you know, then the wheels are spinning.
Yeah, wheels are off.
He doesn't get an out. So, you know, that part's on Wandy Peralta. But, you know, the negative, and there's more heroes, but just the fact that they can't really string together offense against left-handers.
Still.
Hogan Harris, nobody's. J.P. Sears. Yeah, they won the games, but they're not stringing together offense.
They're not out of the
lefties.
Woods, which was why Italian Paul, you have a shot with the first two guys, I believe, in the series against the Mets being left-handed. You always have a shot with a lefty on the bump.
Come back. I want to talk about that eighth inning and setting up Donovan Solano's moment here at the end of the game as well. Continuing our discussion of the Padres on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.